Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Introduction to EDI Capabilities in WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2. Today's presenters are Narayan Prasad and Srinivasan Krishnamoorthy. Narayan, an advisory software engineer at IBM, is working in the capacity of an architect for WebSphere Partner Gateway support and product. Prior to this role, he was working with the development teams of WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Commerce. He has around 11 years of IT industry experience, of which over 5 years has been in WebSphere Partner Gateway. Srinivasan joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway development team in February 2007 and has contributed for the development of releases version 6.11 and release version 6.2. Prior to this, he was part of the WebSphere Data Interchange team. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Narayan and Srinivasan.
Thank you, Joseph. Good morning, everyone. Good evening if you're in the Eastern time zone. I'm on slide 2 of the presentation. Joseph, can you move to slide 2? Thank you, Joseph. In this session, we will go through an overview of WebSphere Partner Gateway, where we will cover what the product is about, its high-level functions, and go over the terminologies used in Partner Gateway product. We will then look into EDI functions and capabilities like de-enveloping, source validation, that is when an EDI document is received and validated, target validation, when EDI documents are generated by WebSphere Partner Gateway, EDI duplicate checking, enveloping EDI transactions, re-enveloping EDI transactions after they are de-enveloped from the interchange, splitting a document that contains more than one EDI interchange into individual interchanges. Moving on to the next slide, I'm on slide 3 of the presentation. We will continue with the agenda. We will then go over the transformation capabilities that are available in Partner Gateway, both the native and the external integration to WTX. And we then move over to looking at steps involved in configuring a document transformation in WPG, which will use WTX as an external transformation engine. And finally, we will summarize the discussion and open up for questions. We will now move on to the first part of the agenda, the WebSphere Partner Gateway overview. Moving on to slide number 6. WebSphere Partner Gateway is a complete integrated B2B environment that provides solutions that enable users to extend their business processes across the enterprise. The typical challenge that customers face in such integration are connecting disparate systems where there is no common document format, no common transport mechanism, nor common security needs, and they talk different business protocols. WebSphere Partner Gateway provides a one-stop solution for these challenges. It allows users to connect disparate systems or processes by mediating transport, packaging, and security needs of two different trading partners. It supports a wide range of transport protocols like HTTP, HTTPS, FTP, FTPS, and business protocols like AS, EBMS, RNIF, and so on. What it allows is to connect the backend system or an internal business process of any organization, for example, a purchase order process that uses, say, a COBOL copybook data, and connect this business process outside of the enterprise to another trading partner via any supported protocols and transports. For example, the COBOL copybook that is internal to the organization is translated and sent over an AS2 protocol as an EDI interchange. Moving on to the next slide, we will now look into Hosphere Partner Gateway terminologies. I would move on to the next slide, that is slide number 8. We will now look into certain frequently used terminologies in the Hosphere Partner Gateway product. To begin with, partner. By the term partner, what we mean is any enterprise who either owns the Hosphere Partner Gateway instance or an enterprise to whom the WPG instance connects to. We have two kinds of partners in the system, an internal and an external partner. An internal partner is the company that owns the WPG instance or an organization unit inside the company that owns the WPG instance. An external partner is a partner that the owner of the hub connects to. A destination is basically an endpoint where the document needs to be delivered either to the internal partner or the external partner. Each destination is associated to one kind of a transport, either HTTP, HTTPS, or FTP, any supported transport formats. Certificates are public key infrastructure certificates that can either be used for SSL, digital signatures, encryption, and so on. They are specific to partner, so a partner-specific certificate is loaded against a partner. Moving on to document flow definitions. Document flow definition is a means of capturing a definition of a document in the context of a business process. It's a hierarchical data that is arranged first as a package, where package is a business protocol that is used to package the document and deliver it to the trading partner. An example can be AS, RNIF, EBMS. Protocol is basically a logical grouping of a business document. And then the document is arranged as an activity, where activity can be any business activity. For example, a purchase order request activity can be a definition for an activity. And the last in the hierarchy is basically the document itself, which can either be binary document or an EDI transaction. In case of an EDI document, the hierarchy would be arranged in this fashion. A package can probably be AS or, say, none, where there is no packaging, or we ship it over AS. A protocol will be the version of the EDI that we are interacting with. Example, X12B4R1. And the document by itself would be, say, 850 or 810. Interactions are a template that represents a valid interaction between two trading partners. It captures a source document flow definition and a target document flow definition, a destination where the target document should be delivered, a variable workflow action on what needs to be performed when the document flows through this particular interaction. It is just a template which says any document that arrives as a source document format basically gets delivered as this target document definition format. A connection is basically an instance of the interaction that is enabled for a specific partner pair. So the instance is basically a global definition, and a connection is a definition against two trading partners. Receivers are endpoints in WSWA Partner Gateway, where Partner Gateway receives the document. And receivers are specific to transports. It can be either HTTP, HTTPS. In case of HTTP, we can specify basic authentication also on the receiver. Actions and handlers are basically the workflow in WPG is divided into three parts. A fixed inbound workflow, a variable workflow, and a fixed outbound workflow. Handlers are associated to each of these workflows. So in a specific workflow, there are multiple handlers that get called. Actions are specific to variable workflow. Handlers are specific to fixed inbound and fixed outbound workflow. So these are configurable extension points in Partner Gateway. there are default handlers and actions that are provided out of the box, and users can develop their own actions and handlers and upload it into Partner Gateway. So in a sequence of execution, when a document is first received, it goes through the fixed inbound workflow, and then a variable workflow, and a fixed outbound workflow, and then it gets delivered to the destination. Documents are received through the receiver and delivered through the destination. Moving on to slide 11 of the presentation, we will move now to the second part of the agenda, which is the EGI capabilities. We will start with the de-enveloping capability that is available in Partner Gateway. De-enveloping is a variable workflow action that allows de-enveloping of EDI interchanges into EDI transactions. What it does is basically extracts EDI transactions out of the groups, or if in case of EDIFACT there are no groups, the transaction data is extracted out. De-enveloped transactions get introduced back into the workflow as child transactions. These child transactions will go through the fixed inbound workflow, variable, and the fixed outbound workflow independently, although they are all considered to be a part of a single batch, but they will flow through these workflows independently. The de-enveloper extracts the metadata out of the EDI interchange and the transaction and uses forward or reverse translation tables, for example, EDI to dictionary translation table, to convert EDI standard data to WPG understandable data. An example is, assume we are receiving an EDI document, an X12 EDI document with version as 00400 in the GS08 segment. Right? What the de-enveloper will do is extract this field data, use the EDI to dictionary translation table, and convert it to the document flow definition that WPG understands. It converts it back as X12V4R2 so that it matches the protocol definition in WPG. The document flow definitions in WPG can be auto-created if data transformation map is imported, or they can be created manually. But in any case, if the EDI document needs to be mapped to a document flow definition, it is through the EDI to dict translation table. In de-enveloping, we support three kinds of EDI formats, the X12, EDIFACT, and UCS data. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 12, EDI source validation. This again is a variable workflow action that allows individual EDI transactions to be validated against the standard. The schema for validation of EDI transactions get created when the corresponding data transformation map gets compiled in the DIS client. There are three validation levels available for users to choose. Each of them determine the error tolerance they indicate. So a validation level 1 basically means that the schema or the grammar is just validated, and higher the validation level, the depth of validation increases. Validation error level basically indicates the amount of error tolerance to be specified. In case there are violations against grammar, a validation level 0 would allow it to go, but a higher validation level will stop the document from being processed further. Apart from the standard validation that can happen, users are allowed to create validation maps that can define custom validation rules. This is apart from the regular schema validation that will happen for EDI transactions. WPG allows two types of validations. One is the EDI source validation, which validates EDI transactions that are de-enveloped. It acts only on transactions, de-enveloped transactions. And again, for each transaction, goes through the validation action, where validation is done. based on the validation level specified, and validation error level basically determines if this transaction needs to go forward or be stopped. The second type of validation that is allowed is basically an EDI interchange validation, where the entire EDI interchange is validated without de-enveloping it. So if an EDI interchange is received, you would validate it as is without de-enveloping it to child transactions. It is typically used in the case where the validation happens in partner gateway and the transformation happens in WTX, where the interchange has to be carried forward as is without being de-enveloped. Based on the result of validation, if the validation was either successful or failure, and functional acknowledgement gets generated. The functional acknowledgement is again introduced back into the workflow as an EDI transaction. Goes through the fixed variable and fixed outbound workflow. It's enveloped into an interchange and then is sent out to the trading partner who originated the EDI document. Functional acknowledgements get generated only when a functional acknowledgement map is configured on the connection. If the map isn't configured, functional acknowledgements would not get generated even though validation is successful or failed. Moving on to the next slide, slide 13. Source validation was primarily for EDI documents that were received from external trading partners. Target validation in partner gateway is for transactions that are generated in partner gateway. For example, an XML document coming from the backend getting transformed to an EDI transaction goes through the EDI validation step where it is validated against the schema defined for the EDI transaction. Again, validation level basically indicates the depth of validation that needs to be performed, and validation error level basically indicates the amount of error that can be tolerated. There will be no functional acknowledgement generated for target validation. Functional acknowledgements are only for source validation. So before the document gets enveloped, it is being checked for errors, and if there are no errors, it gets enveloped. If there are errors, the document is marked fail in partner gateway. It never gets enveloped or delivered to the partner. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 14. Duplicate checking is a feature available in partner gateway to all document types. In case of EDI documents, duplicate check is based on the interchange, group, and transaction control numbers. Once the interchange is de-enveloped, the group, interchange, and transaction control numbers are reconciled. So if duplicate check is enabled, the documents, the received documents, interchange, group, and transaction control number are compared against the transaction control numbers that were earlier stored in the system. This is again in the context of a partner pair. So for a given sender receiver, the control numbers are made sure that they are not repeating. If the control numbers are repeating, that means we have received a duplicate document. Based on the attribute set on the connection, users can either choose to say stop duplicate documents or allow duplicate documents. In case they choose to allow duplicate documents, the document will flow through the WPG workflows and get delivered to the backend. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 15, enveloping. Enveloping is an action of enveloping individual EDI transactions into an interchange, which is again constructed of groups. Transactions are grouped to form a group and then formed into an interchange. So once an EDI, once a document is transformed to EDI document, it is basically queued for enveloping. So if you look at the WPG console, once the document is transformed, it will be marked waiting for enveloping. Documents are either part of a batch or not part of a batch. There are two options of enveloping, either part of a batch or not part of a batch. So in a batch mode, where all transactions that belong to a batch are picked up in one set and then try to envelop them into a single envelope or multiple envelopes. that is determined by the envelope break criteria. In a non-batch mode, documents are basically picked up as they arrive or not in a sequence. Envelope profiles are used to set service segment values on the envelope that are constants. The variable portions of the service segments are picked up based on the repository values stored in WPG. For example, the control numbers are constantly incremented and picked up from the repository. Control number generation is again configurable. Users can go to the WPG console and say the begin of the control numbers that they want to use and the increment values they want to set on it. In the batch mode of enveloping, the enveloper waits for the entire batch to complete. Our documents will not be picked up unless the batch is complete. So if there are 5 transactions that are part of a batch, the enveloper will wait for the last transaction to arrive. And the enveloper is basically interval based. So users can go to the WPG console and configure at what interval they want the enveloper to kick in. So once the enveloper wakes up, it basically iterates to the available transactions, picks them up, envelopes it, and then dispatches it for further for processing. Once the document is enveloped, it is again introduced back into the fixed inbound workflow, where it goes through the fixed inbound workflow steps, variable, fixed outbound, and then gets delivered to the trading partner. Moving on to the next slide. EDI re-enveloping. In certain cases, the MAPS and WTX expect EDI transactions to be always enveloped and not passed as EDI transactions, that is without the service segments. This is a specific case where we are doing the transformation with WTX. In such cases, the EDI interchange service segments have to be put back into the transaction. The EDI re-enveloping variable workflow step will put back the interchange service segments that were originally present in the receipt interchange. The difference between an enveloping and a re-enveloping is that in an enveloping case, the service segments are constructed at runtime. That is, the control numbers are basically picked up from the database. Even the service segment values are picked up from the runtime. But in case of the re-enveloping, the service segment values are picked up from the original interchange that was received. So assuming that you received an X12 interchange, it was de-enveloped, validated, and then it has to be re-enveloped before we call the WTX transformation step. In this case, when the re-enveloping happens, the service segment values will match that was in the original interchange. So the original interchange control number was 001. The re-enveloped interchange control number will again be 001. So there will be no changes in the service segment values. The interchange is then passed on to either our WTX transformation step or can be directly passed to a destination based on the configuration in the variable workflow. Moving on to the next slide, EDI splitting. In some production environments, it is often possible that a received document can contain more than one interchange in it. But for any processing to be done on this received document, they have to be split and individual interchanges have to be extracted out of them. Splitting is basically not just specific to EDI. We have splitters available for EDI, XML, and ROD document formats. In case of EDI, let's take the case of EDI for example. So if the received document has more than one interchange in it, on the receiver, users can configure a pre-process handler, which is basically a pre-processing step that is performed before the document is processed, which is EDI splitter. So this pre-process handler would split a single document having multiple interchanges into multiple interchanges and introduce them into the WPG workflow. So each of the interchanges goes through the workflow, gets processed, and gets delivered to the backend. In order to split the documents, users have to configure a character set or the encoding that was used in this document. This is only in case of EDI and ROD. In XML, it is determined by the prolog. So the encoding information is necessary, without which the splitting will not happen. And also, in case the split documents have to be processed in a batch, the batch mode on the configuration needs to be set to on. What it means is, in case of an XML, let's take a case of an XML, where an input document has one or more XMLs in it, it gets split into multiple XMLs, gets processed in WPG. If the batch mode is turned on, the XMLs, for example, if they get transformed into EDI, the EDI transactions will be considered to be part of a batch, so they will get enveloped in a batch mode. In case you don't want them to be in a part of a batch, the batch mode can be turned off. This is a configuration attribute that is available on all splitters. Moving on to the next slide. We will now move to the next part of our agenda, which is the transformation capabilities. We will look into the transformation capabilities available in WPG. There are two options available. One, the native transformation capability, which allows an any-to-any transformation. Option two, an external integration into WPX that allows users to exploit the features of WPX while removing the dependency on Trading Manager. We will move on to the next slide, slide 20. The native transformation option allows users to transform any document format to any document format. We categorize documents into three types: XML, EDI, and ROD, where ROD is record-oriented data or flat file data. A transformation map is created based on a source and target document definition. In case of XML, the document definition can be auto-generated from an XSD or a DTD, which will describe the grammar of the document. In case of EDI, the document definitions are available on our support website for download. Users can download them and import them into the client tooling for the document definitions. In case of record-oriented data that represents any document format that does not come under the XML and EDI category, we support three types of record formats. One is basically a fixed length, where the record formats are identified by a fixed character length. The second option is basically a field delimited. For example, a CSV file is a field delimited record format. The third type is basically a CND data, where C is the control segment and D is the data segment of it. For all of these three formats, users have to define the schema definition or the data format definition manually using the DIS client tooling. Once the data formats are created, they can be used for creating a map. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 21. There are three types of maps supported natively in Mesosphere Partner Gateway. One is basically the transformation map. A transformation map is used to transform a source document format to a target document format. It supports two kinds of mapping. One is a source-based mapping, and the second is a target-based mapping. In the source-based mapping, the value from the source document definition is mapped to a field in the target document definition. The mapping is based on the source document definition. So when the user defines a source value being mapped to a target value, at runtime, the source document definition is created and the mapping commands are executed for each source definition fields. So if a mapping command is, for example, a set property command is created on a source field, and in the input document, the source field is not present, the mapping command will never get executed. So for mapping commands to get executed, the source field should be populated in the input document. Whereas in the target-based mapping, the mapping gets executed based on the target document definition. So a mapping command is associated to a field or outside of a field in a target-based map. But in either case, in a target-based map, the mapping commands will get executed irrespective of the source document having the map to field present or not present. That is the primary difference between a source and a target-based mapping. So users can choose the style of mapping based on how they want the mapping command to get executed. The second type is basically a validation map. It allows users to write custom validation checks, basically business rules for source validation. So for EDI transactions, out-of-the-box validation is done based on the grammar defined in the source document definition. The EDI document definitions that get imported has the grammar for the EDI validation to be done. But apart from that, if there is a business validation that needs to be done, for example, if the order value is greater than this, I want something else to be done. If you want a business validation of such kind to be done, users can define that in a source validation. Source validation again can be for the service segments or for the transactions. And the source validation map gets associated to the interaction. So if there is an interaction from say an EDI X12V4R1 850 to a non custom ROD, on that interaction is where a validation map gets associated. So when the source validation action is defined, after the default validation gets executed, the validation map gets executed. Users can raise errors in validation map, which will basically later translate to functional acknowledgement errors being sent back to the originator of the document. Functional acknowledgement map is a special kind of map wherein in Partner Gateway, natively, if any EDI transaction is validated, be it X12, EDIFACT, or UCS data, the functional acknowledgement is always generated in a ROD format, in a record-oriented data format. They are not specific to the EDI version that was validated. So if the users need, the originator of the document needs a functional acknowledgement, this functional acknowledgement ROD needs to be translated to the corresponding version of X12997 or EDIFACT control, enveloped and then sent back to the trading partner. So a functional acknowledgement map is typically that maps the ROD definition of the functional acknowledgement, the EDI definition of the functional acknowledgement. There are default functional acknowledgement maps that are available as part of the product, but if there is a version of EDI that is not supported by this functional acknowledgement maps, users have to define them on their own. And again, functional acknowledgement maps are assigned to an interaction which gets assigned to a connection, and only when a functional acknowledgement map is assigned to an interaction, a functional acknowledgement gets generated. If there is no FA map associated, there will be no FAs generated in source validation. All of the three kinds of maps, the validation, transformation, and functional transformation maps, are developed using the DIS client tooling that is available in the Partner Gateway. It is an externally installable product that is only on Windows that can connect to the WebSphere Partner Gateway repository. Maps are developed in this tooling, compiled, and exported into the WPG repository. The compiled form of the map is alone stored in the WPG repository, but the human viewable format is always stored in the client tooling. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 22. Control strings are a compiled form of the transformation maps. There are three types of control strings that get generated. First is basically MP or the map control string. A map control string gets generated when a data transformation map gets compiled in the DIS client. Control strings again are exported into the WPG repository. The second control string format is basically the STD or the standard control string. Standard control string basically represents the EDI standard in the compiled format, in the machine readable format. This is typically used for the source of the target validation. It cannot be compiled on its own. Users have to develop a data transformation map using the EDI document definition. Once the data transformation map gets compiled, the standard control strings get generated along with the map control string. Document format, or DF control string, represents the ROD document definition in a machine readable format. Again, the ROD document definition cannot be individually compiled to form this. They need to be a part of a data transformation map, and when the data transformation map gets compiled, the document definition gets generated, control string gets generated. Translation tables are used to convert constants to some constant value or a constant value to another constant value. A typical example for usage of this would be the machine supplied EDI to dict or the dict to EDI translation table. Both these translation tables are pre-populated when the product is installed. The way they get used is in an EDI processing. When the EDI document is received and the version number in the EDI document needs to be converted to WPG understandable format, EDI to dict translation table is used. EDI to dict is a forward translation table where from a standard it is converted to a non-standard value. A reverse translation table will be used to convert a non-standard value to a standard value. For example, an X12V4R2 in WPG will be converted to 004002 that is embedded into the EDI transaction in the GS08 segment. The data transformation, the native data transformation, supports two kinds of variables, global and a local variable. A local variable is within the context of the data transformation map. So when a map gets executed, you can basically instantiate variables, store value against the variable, increment them, decrement them, and then use them in a different mapping command. So the local variable is in the context of the map that is getting executed. But a global variable can be used when a value needs to be shared across two maps that are getting executed. So the context of a global variable is beyond a map that is getting executed. Moving on to the next slide. I'm on slide 23. A code list can be used to maintain an allowed set of values for a given field. For example, the default code list that gets applied, one of the default code lists that gets applied is the AlphaNum code list. It contains the list of characters that we treat that are alphanumerical characters. So if a field in EDI is defined as AlphaNum, when it is source validated, the field is basically compared to the code list called AlphaNum, where the allowed set of characters for alphanumeric is present. So A to Z, 0 to 9 is mentioned in the alphanumeric table. So if the EDI field contains any value outside of the characters allowed in the alphanumeric table, it will be marked invalid. Similarly, if you basically want to have an allowed set of values for any given field, so for example, if you want to use a country field and have an allowed set of country codes that you want to use, you can basically define a code list, enter the allowed set of country codes that are possible, and then validate them in the validation. So you can basically say, this is the code list I want to validate this field against. So field value is compared against the code list values and said, okay, this field contains a valid value or an invalid value. Target properties are a means of overriding or setting target properties that will be further used in the WPG workflow. For example, if we take an example of char set, assume a case where we receive an XML document. We are transforming it to an EDI document and enveloping it and sending it to a trading partner. So the character set understood my backend doesn't have to be the same character set understood by my trading partner. So by default, the system will always try to use the default character set of the operating system. So if nothing is specified, for example, if it's a Windows system, ASCII would be the default character sets that will be used. But in case the trading partner expects a different character set, that should be entered as a target property in the data transformation map. So when this EDI transaction is translated and then it is serialized, the target character set will be used for the serialization and then further used for enveloping and delivering the document. Similarly, if the EDI delimiters have to be overridden, by default, the default delimiters for external artifact will get used. But if the trading partner is expecting a different set of EDI delimiters, you could either define the target delimiters in the connection, or you could basically do it in the data transformation map. The other option that you can set is basically a reroute. What this field reroute means is, once the document is transformed to any document format, be it EDI, XML, or ROD, if this transformed document needs to go back to the fixed inbound workflow and not the fixed outbound workflow. So now the document is received, it gets transformed in the variable workflow. Logically, the next step would be the fixed outbound workflow and delivery. But in case the document needs to be sent back into the fixed inbound workflow, which in simple terms means that it's almost like the document being received, then the reroute flag should be set to true. So once the reroute flag on the target property is set to true, the transformed document is put back into the main inbound queue or the fixed inbound workflow, goes through the three workflows and gets delivered back. Polymorphic maps are a map that produces more than one output for a given input. You can make polymorphic maps using the map chain or the map call command, wherein a single input is basically made into multiple outputs. A typical example could be, you know, a request for quote message that is generated from the backend can be transformed into multiple requests for quote messages for different trading partners you want to send that to, and then get rerouted using the reroute flag, packaged and delivered to a trading partner. This can be one scenario where you combine a polymorphic map with a reroute flag, then making one message into multiple messages, packing them and delivering them to your trading partner. We will now move to the next part of the agenda, which is the transformation using WTX. To take you through the rest of the presentation, I will now turn it over to Srinivasan.
Thank you, Narayan. I'm on slide number 24. WPG can integrate with WTX externally. By external, we mean that WTX has a different runtime and WTX will handle only the transformation part of the workflow. All EDI related capabilities and document routing will be handled by WPG. Moving on to next slide. Slide number 25. WTX is used as the external transformation engine. This engine can reside in the same machine where WPG is installed or on a different machine. In case WTX is installed on a different machine, WPG can connect to it via a remote server. WPG supports three options for transformation, which are any to any, one to one, and one to many. Come on next slide, number 26. With the integration of WPG with WTX, the dependency on trading manager for EDI capabilities is removed. We have two ways of handling EDI interchange document. In the first way, the inbound EDI document is validated and then transformed as is using WTX. In the second way, the EDI interchange is de-enveloped, validated, and then transformed for each individual transaction. Slide number 27. For ROD data, the sending and receiving partner identification is done with the help of ROD scanner. This is a native functionality available with WPG. For this, the ROD document definition should be created using the DIS client and the same be uploaded into WPG. Slide number 28. We'll go through the configuration steps for WTX transformation. Slide number 29. Step 1. The first step is to create the necessary document flow definition. This is an available functionality with WPG where you can basically go and create the required document flow definition so that the document can be routed through the appropriate channel. Slide number 30. Step 2. The WTX map is created using WTX Design Studio. A map is created using the type trees and the association is done by writing rules for transformation. The map is compiled for a specific platform where WTX is installed. This compiled map can be loaded into WPG console. We should follow the link hubadmin, hub configuration, maps, transformation, maps to upload a map. The source and the target document definition should be selected based on the map. Slide number 31. The uploaded map gets stored in the common file system under the folder common file system root / common / maps. The common file system should be accessible to WTX with the same URI as WPG accesses it. The mount or drive should match that of the WPG. Slide number 32. Step 3. We should create a new action for EDA re-envelope and WTX transform action. The re-envelope action will help in re-enveloping the de-enveloped transaction and the WTX transform action will transform the enveloped transaction into target document definition. Slide number 33. Step 4. We should select the source and target document definition that are required for this interaction. Step 5, slide number 34. We should create a file receiver to receive the inbound EDA document. And the step 6 is to create the sending and receiving partner information. We should configure their destination to and enable appropriate capabilities for the flow. Slide number 35. We should search for the available connection between the sending and receiving partner and activate the required connection for the flow. Slide number 36. Now we can route the EDA external document by posting it into the file receiver. The transformed ROD document should be found in the receiving partner's configured gateway. Slide number 37. Summary. Next slide please. Slide number 39. WPG is a completely integrated B2B application. It provides native any-to-any transformation capability apart from its packaging and routing capabilities. It integrates seamlessly with WTX for extended transformation capabilities. Here are some of the points to note. When integrating with WTX, the common file system should be shared between WTX and WPG. EDA validation in WPG always uses a standard control string produced by the DIS client. ROD handling in WPG needs ROD document definition created using DIS client tooling. We are done with our presentation. I'm transferring the call back to Joseph Lam. Thank you.
At this point, RJ, we would like to open the lines for questions.
At this time, there are no questions.
Thank you, RJ. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.